Hare Krishna. Good morning. Wonderful to have your association today. So we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8. This is a conclusion to your long study of the talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. Maybe one more class after this. You've been studying this for a year or something. Because it's every Saturday, right? Okay, so we are discussing verses 301 through to 310. I'll chant the verses 301 to 309 and read the translations, and then we will read 310. We'll chant 310 together and read Srila Prabhupada's commentary. Verse 301, translation. All the residents of Vidyanagara were of different faiths. But after seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they abandoned their own faiths and became Vaishnavas. Text 302, translation. When Ramananda Rai began to feel separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was overwhelmed. Meditating on the Lord, he gave up all his material business. Text 303. I have briefly described the meeting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. No one can actually describe this meeting exhaustively. It is even impossible for Lord Sheshanag, who has thousands of hoods. Text 304. The activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like condensed milk, and the activities of Ramananda Rai are like large quantities of sugar candy. Text 305. Their meeting is exactly like a mixture of condensed milk and sugar candy. When they talk of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, camphor is added. One who tastes this combined preparation is most fortunate. Text 306, translation. This wonderful preparation has to be taken orally. If one takes it, he becomes greedy to relish it even further. Text 307. By hearing the talks between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one becomes enlightened with transcendental knowledge of the mellows of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, rasa tattva jnana. Thus one can develop unalloyed love for the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, prema bhakti. Text 308. The author, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, requests every reader to hear these talks with faith and without argument. By studying them in this way, one will be able to understand the confidential truth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 309. This part of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes is most confidential. One can derive benefit quickly only by faith. Otherwise, by arguing, one will always remain far away. Bahudura. Text 310, translation. He who has accepted as everything the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Prabhu can attain this transcendental treasure. The treasure was mentioned, rasa tattva jnana and prema bhakti, in verse 307. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that Krishna is obtained for the faithful, but for those who are accustomed to argue, Krishna is far, far away. Similarly, these talks between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be understood by a person who has firm faith. Those who are not in the disciplic succession, the Asotapantas, cannot have faith in these talks. They're always doubting and engaging in mental consciousness, concoctions. These talks cannot be understood by such whimsical people. Transcendental topics remain far, far away from those engaged in mundane arguments. In this regard, in the Vedic mantras, in the Katha Upanishad 1-9, state, Nesha Tarkena Matir Upaneya Puruktan Yaneva Sugyanaya Prishta. And Prabhupada doesn't give us the translation. We can infer that it was paraphrased before the verse was cited. And then he cites another verse. According to the Mundaka Upanishad 3-3, Nayamatmam Pravachanena Labhya Na Medhaya Na Bahu Huna Shrutena Yam Evaisa Vrinute Tena Labhyas Tasyesa Atma Vivrinite Tanum Svam. And no translation again. We just hear the transcendental sound, Shabda Brahma. And according to Brahma Sutra 2.1.11, Tarka Pratishtanat. Also, no translation. So we will infer from here that these are verses supported what Prabhupada said before, that the Supreme Lord cannot be understood by doubt and argument and must be approached with Shraddha, with faith. Prabhupada says, this is confirmed in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.3.4. Atha Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyam Sevan Mukhe Hi Jivado Swayameva Sparatyada. One cannot understand the Lord's name, holy name, pastimes, form, qualities, or entourage with one's blunt material senses. However, when the senses are purified by the constant rendering of service, the spiritual truth of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna is revealed, as confirmed in the Mundaka Upanishad. Yam yam evasva evasa vrinuta tena labhyas. I was just seeing if it was a repeat of the verse that was cited earlier. That's a different citation. Only one who is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead can understand the transcendental features of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om gyan timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jaina tasmai shri guruve namaha vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyaiva cha patidhanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. I missed a paragraph. Okay, which paragraph did I miss? All the Vedic literatures desire that transcendental subjects cannot be understood simply by arguments or logic. Spiritual matters are far above experimental knowledge. Only by Krishna's mercy can one who is interested in his transcendental loving affairs understand them. If one tries to understand these transcendental topics simply by using one's material brain substance, the attempts will be futile. Whether one is a Prakrita Sahaja or a mundane opportunist or scholar, one's labor to understand these topics by mundane means will be ultimately frustrated. One therefore has to give up all mundane attempts and try to become a pure devotee of Lord Vishnu. When a devotee follows the regulative principles, the truths of these talks will be revealed to him, as confirmed in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thank you. So, we have read a series of verses, 10 verses. I'll speak to these verses as well as the 10th with Prabhupada's commentary as well. The first two verses reference seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the effect of seeing Lord Chaitanya. And then we were given this wonderful metaphor over verses 3, 4, and 5 about condensed milk and sugar and camphor. So we will discuss that as well. And then finally, the last group of verses from 6 to 10, they talk about how we should approach this conversation. We must approach it not with arrogance or pride, argument, speculation, but with Shraddha, with faith, and there will be a revelation. It cannot be understood intellectually. It is revealed in the heart. So these three topics we will discuss now. Seeing Lord Chaitanya, what is the effect that Kaviraj Goswami describes? The people of Vidyanagara, they, after seeing Lord Chaitanya, what happened to them? Yeah. Very good, yeah. So they were of different faiths, he says. Faith doesn't necessarily mean religion. Could also be atheism is also a faith. Science is also a faith. So there are many faiths. And after seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people, they were convinced of Krishna. They developed Shraddha in Krishna. And so they gave up other faiths and they developed faith in Krishna. So this seeing of the Lord, this darshana, is very powerful. Ramananda Raya says, after meeting Lord Chaitanya, also was not able to engage in his previous business. He was a great governor, government official. He ruled like a king, the southern part of the kingdom of Maharaj Prataparudra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to see him. He has come to the Vidyanagara at the request of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving Jagannath Puri to visit South India, just as he was departing, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who had previously been a Mayavad, Advaitin scholar, Rajguru, the guru of Maharaj Prataparudra, the king of that great kingdom, we could say Orissa, but it was actually much greater than Orissa. It stretched all the way down. This is South India here, Karnataka and Andhra. So a very vast kingdom. And Sarvabhauma was the guru of the king, very, very learned person. And he had been transformed by the association and teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving for South India, Sarvabhauma said, when you're visiting South India, please meet Ramananda Rai. He says to him, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will like him. He's a very nice Vaishnava. A Vaishnava will appreciate another Vaishnava. He says, previously, I was unable to appreciate him. We have met on many occasions and I mocked him. I thought, he's a sentimentalist. He doesn't understand pure philosophy. He's too much swayed by sentiment and this ascetic emotion. And so I mocked him as a sentimental Vaishnava. He says, now by your mercy, I appreciate what a wonderful person is Ramananda Rai. You should definitely meet him because you will love him. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he starts his journey from Jagannath Puri. Initially, he goes to Alalanath. There is a temple there of Vishnu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes go when Jagannath's temple was closed after Snan Yatra. He would go to Alalanath and he would see the deity there of Alalanath Ji, and he felt some soothing relief to his heart that was burning in separation from not seeing Jagannath Swami. In Alalanath, he had darshan, and many people were gathering around. They wanted to see Lord Chaitanya. And in seeing Lord Chaitanya, there was this effect that was happening. People would say, Krishna, Krishna. And they would become transformed. They would develop faith in Krishna, and they would give up other faiths. Nityananda Prabhu, he pulled Lord Chaitanya through the crowd and took him to a room so that Mahaprabhu could eat something. He closed the doors and the two lords, they were served Jagannath Prasad that had been sent from Puri. And there were people, hundreds of people, thousands of people crowding outside. And then Mahaprabhu said, okay, open the doors. And the doors were opened and Mahaprabhu sat there so that people could have his darshan. They could see him. And by seeing him, their hearts were moved. Their hearts were transformed. They became Vaishnavas. And Kaviraj Goswami says, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked, He left Nityananda Prabhu and the other Vaishnavas behind, and he walked through villages and towns to South India. And along the way, people would see him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, Krishna, Krishna, Kaha Krishna, you say Krishna's name, Hari Bol, chant the name of Hari. And as people saw Lord Chaitanya and chanted, they would become ecstatic, and then Lord Chaitanya would embrace them. One thing you will see in reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya embraces lots of people. He embraces his devotees, but here he's also embracing the common people that he meets along the way. And with Lord Chaitanya's embrace, they experience the sattvika bhavanas. They experience the eightfold bodily transformations of crying, hair standing on end, goosebumps, shivering, and so forth. These people, Kaviraj Goswami says, these travelers, they went back to their villages transformed, changed, having seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when people saw them, they also became Vaishnavas. And Kaviraj Goswami says, these people, these travelers who chanced to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they became gurus for the people in the towns and villages where they were from. Once they returned, they became the gurus of all these people of their towns and villages. In this way, Kaviraj Goswami says, all the people of the lands where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked, they became Vaishnavas. That was the effect of seeing Mahaprabhu, of being in his presence. So finally, he came to the Godavari at Vidyanagara, the place of Ramananda Rai. He took his bath and he sat there on the side of the river, chanting, sitting there. And he heard some sounds, music, drums, bugles, some commotion, marching feet, some soldiers, some brahmanas chanting Vedic mantras. And there's a palanquin. Someone is being carried in that palanquin. And Mahaprabhu thought, this must be Ramananda Rai, the governor for this region, the person that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted me to meet. And when, and indeed it was, and when he got down from his palanquin to take his bath at the in the sacred Godavari, one of the sacred rivers of Bharat, he saw in the distance what looked to him like 100 sons dressed as a sannyasi. Can you imagine? We try to look at the sun and we have to look away. The glare is too great. Ramananda Rai saw sitting in the distance 100 sons dressed in saffron cloth as a sannyasi. And he got down from his palanquin and ran. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to run, but he composed himself. Ramananda Rai fell before him like a rod. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up and he said, chant Krishna's name. That's what he told everyone. Ramananda Rai got up and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, are you Ramananda Rai? He says, I am. I am Ramananda Rai, your servant. I am a Sudra. He was very, very humble before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And all the soldiers, all the brahmanas there watching the scene. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this response, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this very humble response, he pulled Ramananda Rai in close and embraced him. And the two of them were experiencing ecstatic, the Asta Sattvika Bhavanas. They experienced the ecstatic transformations of the body and also of the heart internally. There were many feelings that swelled up in them as they embraced one another. And the brahmanas, they were observing this. What is going on? This is a sannyasi, and he is embracing a grihastha, he is embracing a sudra, he is embracing a king, a governor. What is this? And they were also looking at Ramananda, and they were saying, and what has happened to him? He's always very sober, and he's a great pandit, a mahapandit. And now he's become very, very emotionally overwhelmed by the touch, by the embrace of the sannyasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sent me to see you. And Ramananda replied, he said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he is my well-wisher. And even from a distance, he's concerned about my well-being, and he sent you here for me. And by seeing you, I've been purified. And he said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, your love for Sarvabhauma is so great that you even touched me, although I am untouchable. Ramananda Rai said, not only me, not only have I been transformed, he says, look at these 1,000 men, these brahmanas and musicians, soldiers. They also have tears in their eyes, and they are also chanting, Krishna, Krishna. That is the effect of seeing you. And Mahaprabhu, he says, no, this is not from seeing me. Because of seeing you, their hearts have been moved. Their hearts have melted. And they have awakened love for Krishna. He said, I am a Mayavad sannyasi. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was concerned about my well-being. That's why he sent me here to you. And so, with these loving exchanges, we can get some sense of the power of seeing the Vaishnava and being seen by the Vaishnava as well. Prabhupada, he also had this effect on people. People saw Prabhupada and they wanted to surrender. People saw Prabhupada and you're showing and they would be moved. They would cry. Their hearts would melt. Indrajuna Maharaj, he first saw Prabhupada's disciples. So that's also the same thing as what happened with Lord Chaitanya. People would see Prabhupada, their hearts would be moved, then they would go to their towns and villages, people would see them, and they would become Vaishnavas. Indrajuna Maharaj was coming out of the university, Ann Arbor, and he saw 5 sannyasis sitting on the lawn. And he thought, I want to be like them. Just by seeing, he went and sat with them. And they were singing Hari Kirtan. And when they finished, one of them said, let me tell you about my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And Maharaj wanted to be like them. And then finally he got to see Prabhupada at the airport. And he had a camera. In those days, not many people had cameras. So he was quite happy, pleased that he had this special thing. Now we all have iPhones and, you know, photos, but in those days it was something very special. And he was very excited that he will take some photos of Prabhupada when he arrives at the airport. And so Prabhupada was walking, came off the plane, and he's walking along the way, that corridor. Devotees are ecstatic with kirtan. Indrajuna Maharaj has his camera. He's so overwhelmed with ecstasy, seeing Prabhupada, he forgot to press the button. Such was the effect that Prabhupada had on people. He forgot himself. He forgot what he was doing. He was overwhelmed with spiritual ecstasy. So we should try to see the Vaishnavas, we should try to see the Lord and be seen by also, because when the devotee sees us, the devotee is thinking, let them become a Vaishnava. Chant Hare Krishna. And when Krishna hears that, let them become a Vaishnava, Krishna also starts to make things happen. Giriraj Maharaj saw Prabhupada in Harvard University. He was a student there. Prabhupada was giving a talk. At the end, Prabhupada said, any questions? Giriraj Maharaj raised his hand. He asked a question. I don't even remember what the question was because Prabhupada didn't answer. He said, first you must understand that you are not God. Giriraj Maharaj's mind went to his apartment, bathroom, where above the mirror he had written, you are God. Prabhupada returned to the Boston Temple a few months later and he sat on the Vyasasana and he looked across the room and he saw Giriraj Maharaj with a tilak and a sika and saffron robes and he says, you came, I prayed for you. So being seen by the Vaishnava, seeing the Vaishnava, also being seen by the Vaishnava. We cannot underestimate, we cannot estimate the potency of those things. Kaviraj Goswami, he's trying to give us a hint. So our second topic is the metaphor. Kaviraj Goswami is trying to give us the hint with some metaphor. Elsewhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he tells us, he says, I'm trying to describe things that are indescribable, but I will give hints. He describes what is referred to as Shakata Chandra Nyaya. Shakata Chandra Nyaya. What is that? The logic of the branch and the moon. What is the logic of the branch and the moon? When we look at the moon, we cannot see it moving. We know it's moving, but we can't see how it's moving in the sky. But Kaviraj Goswami says, you take something that you can see, that you're familiar with, you know, and you use that as a frame through which to look at that other thing that you can't see, and then you will get some hint. You'll get some idea. So you look at the moon through the branches of a stationary tree, and you'll actually see the movement of the moon. Something close and familiar, you use that as the frame to see something that is very far and difficult to perceive, and you will get a sense of it. And so Kaviraj Goswami, he is giving us some metaphors to explain the meeting of Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and their conversation. After meeting and seeing one another, Ramananda Rai went home. And he came back in the evening without the big retinue, 1,000 people, musicians, soldiers, brahmanas, just himself. And they had most confidential discussions. Kaviraj Goswami wants to give us some hints. He says, this discussion is indescribable. I have said something. But in fact, it is indescribable. Not just by me. Even Anantadev, with his thousands of hoods, he said. We assume with the hood there is a mouth. With his thousands of mouths, he could not describe it. It is so vast. It is so deep. Let me give you a hint. So he gives the metaphor. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like condensed milk. Kheer. Ramananda Rai is like sugar. Combination, something wonderful. And then he says, their conversation about Radha and Krishna, it is like karpura, it is like camphor. Camphor has many wonderful qualities, you don't use too much. A little hint. Actually, we don't taste it that much anymore. I remember in my childhood, you would get the Mahaprasad and you will taste the subtle, sometimes not too subtle, the subtle taste of camphor. It is the effect of the, so how describe the taste of camphor? What? Minty, okay, minty, yeah. Aroma. So that's not the taste, that's the aroma. Okay, but it has a strong aroma, right? Yeah. Anyone else? Huh? Peppery. Okay, good. Yeah, peppery, woody type flavor. Yeah? Cooling. Yeah, that's nice. So that's the sensation of it. It's cooling. And it has some anti-inflammatory property. It has some antiseptic quality. It has some cleansing quality, like scraping quality as well in the system. So many wonderful effects from this difficult to describe. None of you said, oh, it's salty, oh, it's sweet. No, it's like, oh, yeah. And so that's a very nice metaphor for Kaviraj. He's saying, here you have the condensed milk, here you have the sugar, and this camphor. That's their conversation about Radha. Difficult to describe. Here's the hint. But when you taste it, that combination, you will become addicted. Kapur, camphor, it's banned in America, in fact, because it is addictive. Some would say sweet kheer is also addictive, but so there is some addictive quality. We want more. He says you become greedy. You become greedy for more. This is a hint. We are nourished and we are greedy. We get a taste. We want more. And it nourishes us and it purifies us. The inflamed condition, the infected condition of material existence, it has been soothed. It has been purified. Taste is being awakened. When we are congested, we put some Vicks vapor rub, right? That's the quality there is the camphor. Your sinus clears things out. So by hearing this kata with your ear, he's saying, you take it with your, this is a kira, you take it with your ear. By hearing this conversation, you will be nourished and you will be purified. In the beginning of this chapter 8 of the Madhya Lila, Kaviraj Goswami gives another metaphor to help us appreciate what is to come. Different metaphor. He says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like, not kheer, but the ocean. Yeah, very good. Thank you. We can actually read it. But we have a nice guessing game going here. And Ramananda Rai is like a cloud. Very good, Govinda. Full marks. And their conversation is like rain. Yeah, very good. Their conversation is like rain, but not any rain. It is like a rain of jewels. Govinda's whispering because this is a very confidential topic. It is like a rain of jewels. Sancharya Raman Rama Bhida Bhakta Meghe. Sva bhakti siddhanta chayamritani gorabhir etir amuna virin vitirnais tajnyatva ratnalayam yatam prayati. You know the verse. Say it again.
Sancharya
Very good. You get more than double marks. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Gauranga, is the ocean of all conclusive knowledge in devotional service. He empowered Ramananda Rai, who may be likened to a cloud of devotional service. This cloud is filled with the water of all conclusive purports of devotional service and was empowered by the ocean to spread this water over the sea of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, the ocean of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became filled with jewels of the knowledge of pure devotional service. So, beautiful, beautiful metaphor. So here we have a sense that the cloud is, what is the cloud is made of the water from the ocean. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the ocean. The cloud, that water is evaporated and becomes a cloud. Ramananda Rai has been empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to speak these things. And then he's offering back the raindrops to the ocean, but now they've become even more special. These raindrops are jewels, money, many, many, every drop. What's the value of raindrops? Okay, some fresh water. You go out with your cup, collect some rainwater. Do people do that? In Australia, they do. In Australia, not with a cup, but where I grew up in Yugovardhan, then the houses have a tank next to them, and all the water is collected into the tank, and that's the rainwater, special water from the rain. Rainwater. I don't know that we could do that in London. The water might not be that clean. So rainwater, it's nice, yeah? But how precious is every drop, right? But Ramananda Rai, the drops that come from him, the cloud, they're like jewels. Every one is so precious. Collect it. Hold it tight. Every word of this conversation that you've been studying, it is a precious jewel. In fact, this conversation, it has the essence of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This conversation, if you study it, you will know the highest truths of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. You can study it for a lifetime because there are so many references. You can follow those references, the context of those references, but you'll see a gradation of tattva, revealing the most mature, highest spiritual truths. But it's not just an intellectual exercise. It is a heart exercise. That hence these metaphors that are trying to hint something to us. Here are the words, here's the description. It's not complete. You need to approach this in a certain way and have the revelation. Srila Prabhupada would also use a metaphor, the jar of honey, right? What does honey taste like? If you've never tasted honey before, and you ask somebody, what does honey taste like? They can try to explain it to you. Ah, yeah, it's sweet. It's, oh, sugar. No, it's not sugar. It's what? How do we describe honey? How can you communicate honey, the taste of honey, to someone who hasn't tasted it? That's Kaviraj Goswami's problem. He's tasted something in meditating on this conversation, but then he's an author. He's trying to tell us what it is. How can I do it? How can words convey what this is? I have given some words. Even if Ananta Dev, with all of his hood, he couldn't do it. Here's the hint. It's like kheer and sugar and camphor. Kind of like that. Or Prabhupada's meant it like honey. But Prabhupada would say, really, you need to take the lid off the honey and taste it. I remember years ago when I was in the Gurukul in Mayapur, someone was there in Mayapur doing a PhD on the Hare Krishnas, on the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So they were interviewing lots of devotees. I was sitting in the room, and this this scholar was interviewing one of our teachers in the school. And at the end, the teacher said, look, you really have to practice this to understand it. You can do your interviews and you can talk to people, but unless you have shraddha, unless you have faith, you won't know what we're describing. And he said, it's like honey, the jar of honey. I can try to explain it, but you won't understand. And he says, yes, many people, the PhD candidate, he said, many people have told me that over the past few weeks. Many people have told me. It can't be described by words. It needs to be experienced. It needs to move the heart. So how to move the heart? How is the heart moved? That's our third point, and that's the point that Prabhupada's speaking to in his commentary. It must be approached with faith, not with argument, not with a doubting mind, not with a critical attitude. I was also with Krishna Kshetra Maharaj in Vrindavan in the 90s when he was doing his PhD, and he was interviewing some pujaris of the Radharaman temple. I went with him on a couple of those interviews. And I remember one of the Goswamis telling him that there is a problem here. Same kind of issue. He says, there is a problem here. He says, of course, Maharaj is a Vaishnava, so that's something else. But he was saying, you are studying this as an academic. Academia is a process of doubt, critical analysis, critical thinking. I teach in the academy, and we teach our students to be critical thinkers. And he says, but bhakti is not, that's not the approach of bhakti. Bhakti is the approach of shraddha, of faith. You go with faith, and then there's a revelation by mercy, by grace. Kaviraj Goswami is conveying this point. You must have faith to appreciate and understand. And let me give you a sense of this, another hint from the conversation itself. Earlier, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai met away from others, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, please say something about the sadhya. What is sadhya? What is the goal? Speak something from Shastra. Very famous, right? Ramananda Rai, he said, Varnashrama Dharma. He quoted a verse from the Vishnu Purana. Varnashrama Dharma. If you execute this properly, Krishna is pleased. This is a way to worship Vishnu Aradhanam. You please Vishnu by perfect execution of Varna and Ashrama Dharma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Eho Bhaya. This is external. Say something more. Ramananda Rai, he said, Yat karoshi rajnasi yajjuhosi dadasi yat yattapasyasi kunteya tat kurushva mad arpana. Krishna samarpanam. You worship Krishna with all that you have, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer, all you give away. Generally would say, oh, good answer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Eho bhaya. This is external. Rejected. In this elevated discussion, that what otherwise would be a good answer, rejected. Ramananda Rai, he says, okay, give it all up. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masucha. 1866, that's our key verse. Surrender to Krishna. What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says? What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? He said, this is external. Say something more. Rejected. How? How can you reject that as a response? Because I have something. I'm a brahmachari, I'm a grihastha, I'm a sannyasi, I'm a vanaprastha, I'm a kshatriya brahmana. And I'm going to give it up. And so we're still on the other side. We haven't yet come to the threshold. And so for Mahaprabhu, it's external. Brahmabhuta prasanatmana sochati nakanchati. That was Brahmananda Roy's next response. Na sochati nakanchati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim paramam param. One who is thus transcendentally situated, not lamenting or desiring anything, equal to all living beings, stone and gold, all equal, that person, madbhaktim labhate, can come to bhakti. What did Mahaprabhu say? Eho bhaya. This is external. Rejected. Say something more. Rejected means, we're still mud bhakti. You can come to bhakti from here. We're not there yet. I asked you to say something about the goal, sadhya. And you're giving me these external things. So Ramananda Rai, he said, I don't know the Sanskrit for this one. He cited Brahma. Brahma, he's tried to test Krishna, figure out who he is. He realized that Krishna is so much greater than he can imagine. With humility, he approaches Krishna and offers prayers. And he says to Krishna that, Krishna, you cannot be understood by arguments, but you are conquered by your devotees who hear and chant and remember and glorify your name, form, qualities, and pastimes. When we hear of your name, form, qualities, and pastimes from Vaishnavas, you are conquered by that practice. You become indebted to those devotees. And Mahaprabhu says, this is good. Now go deeper. Now we have arrived. We have arrived at the place. This is the goal. Constant hearing, chanting, remembering, glorifying Krishna in the association of devotees. You know the verse? You know it? Well done. Thank you, Govindaji. How you all? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased with this response. Hearing about Krishna from Krishna's agent, from the devotee, glorifying Krishna with devotees. There's something magical that happens here. Krishna is pleased. He becomes conquered. He moves. He is moved and he moves to reveal himself in that context. And so that's where this conversation becomes most wonderful. And that's what it is about, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai conversing about Radha and Krishna. And Ramananda Rai, he's glorified by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are speaking so nicely about Krishna. Say more. Say more. Ramananda Rai said, I didn't know there was more than this. But my tongue is an instrument and you are its player. You are making me say things. And finally, Ramananda Rai, he has these things revealed in his heart, but then he has a revelation before him. He says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first I saw you as a sannyasi. That's how I saw you. But now I see Radha and Krishna. I see Krishna covered by the halo, by the effulgence and the mood of Srimati Radharani. Bhavana and duty. Radha bhava duty suvalaitam krishnomi swarupam. That's what I see. And when he saw this vision, he fainted. And he regained consciousness and he sat up and again he saw a sannyasi. That's the revelation. Krishna is revealing himself to his devotees when they engage in this harikatha, harikirtan. Kaviraj Goswami is trying to hint this to us. Come with faith. Engage in this practice. Take the kheer with the sugar and the karpur. Get a taste. You'll want more and more. And then Krishna will reveal himself. Prabhupada also in the Jaladutta, he's arriving in America and he writes a prayer to Krishna, Markane Bhagavad Dharma. Krishna, what am I doing here? Why am I here? You must have some purpose. Otherwise, why have I come? Rajas tamo guna era eg ugrastane. This is a terrible place where everyone is covered by rajagun and tamogun. Who's going to hear the message of Vasudeva in this place? What am I going to do? Prabhupada's been working so hard for so many years for this moment. And as he's arriving, he has doubts. Why am I here? What am I going to do with these people? Boston Harbor. He's writing these words to Krishna. And he's writing and he's praying. And he realizes, no, Krishna's name is very powerful. Srimad Bhagavatam is very powerful. Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantastohya Badrani Virunoti Suritsata. By hearing about Krishna, the heart is moved. It is purified. And one becomes freed from Rajagun, Tamagun, and so forth. And with that revelation, then he says to Krishna, okay, I know what I'm going to do. Vasudeva Kataruchi. I will speak your name. I will speak your words, and you're going to deliver them. I'm going to be your puppet. I will be here as you make me dance. Nacho, nacho, you make me dance as you wish. I will be your instrument, but it is you who delivers. I will speak your words. I will speak your... You have to do it. I will just be here as your agent, as your servant. Bhakti ne be ne nama kubharo. Bhakti medantanam ebe shartak koro. I have no bhakti and I have no ved. I have no knowledge. But I have this big name, Bhakti Vedanta. You please make it full. You please fulfill that name by empowering me to serve you, to represent you. Ramananda Rai, he also said, I am a puppet. I am Krishna, Mahaprabhu, I am your puppet. You are moving me. I am saying these things, but it is you who are moving me. Prajumna Mishra, he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu years later. He said, tell me something about Krishna. Mahaprabhu said, everything I know about Krishna, I learned from Ramananda Rai. Go and ask him. Prajumna Mishra went to Ramananda Rai's house at the Jagannath Vallabh Gardens and the servant said, oh, you wait, he's out the back. And so Prajumna Mishra waited and waited and waited and Ramananda Rai wasn't coming. He asked the servant, what is he doing? Oh, he's working with the dancing girls, preparing them for a dance for Jagannath. What does that mean? Yeah, he's directing, coordinate. He writes plays, he writes music. And he's working with these Devidasis. Prajumna Mishra was like, whoa, this is a bit strange. Ramananda Rai finally came and Prajumna Mishra saw him and he said, Prabhu, I've had your darshan. I'm very satisfied. I'm leaving now. He went back to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu said, do you hear katha from Ramananda Roy? Prajumna Mishra says, not really. I had his darshan. That's good. Mahaprabhu says, no. Everything I know from him. You go on with humility and faith. You go to him. And so Prajumna Mishra went back to Ramananda Roy. And they sat together for hours and hours and hours and hours. And Prajumna Mishra heard so many things about Krishna. And he returned to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu said, did you hear? Yes, I heard. Yes. It was amazing. It was incredible. Such high katha, such wonderful things I heard from him. And Mahaprabhu said again, everything I know from him. He says, Mahaprabhu, Ramananda Roy told me that that he is a puppet and you are the puppet master. That his tongue is an instrument and you are playing that instrument. Prabhupada's offering the same prayer. Use me as your puppet. So, let's conclude. We've discussed seeing the devotee. We've discussed metaphors as a hint to try to reveal something that cannot be described. Actually, it has to be experienced through a process of hearing and chanting and remembering in the association of exalted Vaishnavas with humility. And then when we do this with faith, there is a revelation that comes to us. So we will conclude there. Please.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for the very wonderful narration, very nice class. You really brought up very, very nice points about the analogies. This class for me brought one very interesting point, and that was the whole question about faith. So my question is, what does it actually mean to develop faith or to have faith in general? I know it's a very kind of a general topic or simple topic, but many times our consciousness functions based on discrimination, based on logic, based on calculation. Based everything we do, every step we take, it's based on we deciding between this and this. So it's almost like a raw type of calculation that we have. So how we can, as a practicing sadhakas, develop faith in the Shastra, faith in the words of Guru, and develop faith in the process which we don't see the results, we are not nourished by it yet, how we can develop actually faith?
Yeah, very good question. A very simple definition of faith, given, I think, by Prabhupada. And Arjuna Maharaj likes to often cite it. He says, faith is to put your trust in something sublime. How does it happen? That's your question. How do we get it? And that's a mystery. It is. I've thought about this for years and years and years, because as a preacher, we're trying to convey faith. And so is it this technique? Is it that technique? We have so many programs. There's prasadam, there's book distribution, there's harinam, there's straight preaching, there's bridge preaching, there's this preaching and another. We have all these approaches. What are we trying to do? We're trying to somehow awaken faith. How does it happen? Which technique works the best? Actually, none of them. It's not one. It's many. The principle is that there is a conditioned soul and there is a Vaishnava. The conditioned soul has some good fortune that they may appreciate this Vaishnava who has an intention to give Krishna or to offer Krishna. These two things coming together can. It's not a given, but they can awaken faith. At the very neophyte stage and because faith deepens, right? At the more elevated stage as well. When does it happen? For some souls, it takes a long time. For some souls, it can take a second. With very powerful personalities like Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even the souls are not qualified. Even there is no piety or sukrit, they can just make it happen for that soul. But it's Krishna who's doing it, but these agents, they carry Krishna in such a powerful way, and faith gets sparked. I've had people sit with me for a year, reading Prabhupada's words each week, Bhagavad Gita, discussing. And after a year, they go, ah. Oh. And then I see actual faith awaken. A discernment. What's the difference between bhakti and karma and jnana and or merging with Brahman, mukti? After a year or a year and a half. What was that moment? I don't know. how it came to be that moment that they asked the question. After hearing Prabhupada also for a year, but I don't know why it was that moment. But keep that their good fortune was they kept up the process. They kept coming for a year, and then there was and then I knew there were bhaktas that second later. Until then, like yogi people. Does that answer kind of your question? It's a mystery. The process is associating with devotees. Yeah, and then it can happen by Krishna's grace. The devotees' desire as well. Narada Muni, he saw Nalakuvera and Manigriba. They're really conditioned. They're proud. They don't have humility. They don't even cover themselves. They're naked. They're drunk. Narada Muni curses them. And they become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. But then Krishna as a baby's tied to the ground. And he sees those trees and he says, Narada Muni said, I will deliver them. Therefore, although I have nothing to do with these characters, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, I have to make Narada Muni's words come true. And so he goes and pulls the grinding mortar between those trees and brings them down. And those characters, yes, they've been in Vrindavan for a long time, so there's some purification there. But it's Narada Muni's association. But that Krishna agrees to give himself to them in that moment. And here, in this story, we're discussing also Sarvabhauma. He's saying, please go and see the soul. Of course, Ramananda Rai is also already an elevated devotee. But Mahaprabhu is responding to the request of his devotee. There are some hints. But yeah, it's a mystery. I'm going to take, because we're at time, and I saw your hand long ago. So probably you're going to get the last word here.
It just reminds me of Prabhupada's statement to his disciples that by practice, then you'll know. Mm. Like Arjuna, when he was baffled, and he says, like trying to control the mind, it's like trying to control the wind. Mm. But then he said, by practice and detachment, then you'll know. So by doing, only by doing, will we know. Hmm. It will come from that remote corner where he says, just do it and you'll find out.
It's a sort Thank of you. Yeah.
Simple statement.
We try to invoke the mercy. Yeah. And by practice we show our dedication. Thank you. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Bol.